Welcome to Vostel Show.
I'm Vostel.
You guys should know me from the chat room and from the music production. That is not important. What is important is that we gather information and do shows like this one, in which you can share with the world your opinions and whatever you want. So if you want to have your own show, you either contact me or Bob's Backyard or Robo or Prajna. You can speak. You just have to speak. That is what we have to do in 2012, in 2013, in 2014, in whatever year we are. It all started for me in 2012. I started to express myself through words, because until this word exploration, I have only expressed myself through music and music mixes and so forth. Like I said, but I don't know if you heard me, I will be responsible in bringing you the hacker news, stuff, operations that are happening, what's going on in the world, I don't know. All kinds of stuff from various places. I would have preferred to have guests. Right now I'm soloing, but if I can find guests for the show that are worthy of being in this show, then you will actually hear me and someone else speaking about important things. We do not speak about stupid random crap. We speak about important things, like, for example, what's important now. It's not that we are aligned with some cosmic, I don't know, fourth dimensional field of blah, blah, blah. No, nope. That's not important. What's important is that right now in Europe we have snow storms, okay, and people have to go outside and shovel. It's not a story. Belgium is pretty bad. Hungary is pretty bad. It has red coat of snow. Okay, that's important. Those are the things that we should talk about, because people will die, and people need to be helped with interesting information, not with crappy stuff that only wastes your time. You know, it's important to know that tomorrow, if you go to work, for example, I don't know, maybe you go somewhere else, but if you go someplace, you want to know if you can go. But what if you have 2 meters of snow in front of your face? Then you can't go anywhere. Okay? So what are we going to talk about? Today is not just snow. It's, for example, the U.S. American government is a piece of shit. Why? Because declassified documents have been released of the period between, I don't know, 90s, something like that, that show how dark and evil this government is. And in the future, I see like in 20, 30 years, declassified documents from this period that we find ourselves in today. So, if you know about the Wolfowitz Doctrine, I will tell you what it is right now. It is an unofficial name given to the initial version of the Defense Planning Guidance for the 1994-99 fiscal years, dated February 18, 1992, authored by Under Secretary of Defense for Policy Paul Wolfowitz and his deputy Scooter Libby. Not intended for public release, it was leaked to the New York Times on March 7, 1992, and sparked a public controversy about U.S. foreign and defense policy. The document was widely criticized as imperialist, as the document outlined a policy of unilateralism and preemptive military action to suppress potential threats from other nations and prevent any other nation from rising to superpower status. So what the crap is this? Why do you want to be the only superpower? Is the question. Isn't that to be considered very egocentric? Why create plans to stop the other countries from evolving? It is a crime against humanity. And that is why hacking legions form. Some of you may say, oh, hacking. Hacking is evil. Hacking will destroy you. But no. No. Hacking, it depends on what kind of hacking it is. For example, wait a sec, where is my document? Pentagon creates 13 offensive cyber teams for worldwide attacks. The head of the United States Cyber Command says the US is developing 40 new teams of cyber agents that will both protect America's critical infrastructure from hackers, as well as launch attacks against the country's adversaries. So it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy. They now are terrorists themselves. So they have been fighting against terrorists and calling them cyber criminals. But what are they doing now? Oh, that's right. They are saying that they are developing their own terrorist teams to attack other countries by use of technology. So, Keith Alexander, who leads both the Cyber Command and the National Security Agency, told the U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee on Tuesday that the 40 online support teams should be ready for action by 2015, with 13 of those units existing specifically to attack other countries. Yes, to attack other countries. Where is the defense? Nope. No defense, just attack. Attack other countries. Alexander has been reluctant to go into detail about how the newly designed teams will engage in cyber battle with America's enemies. But he did say that the 13 squads of offensive fighters won't be sitting around waiting for hackers from abroad to strike first. See? Exactly what I was talking about. They will not wait for anyone to strike first. They will just strike themselves. DNF described the groups as defend the nation teams, but also stressed that their role will be one that puts them on both sides of the action. No, this is the article is too easy here. They should just say what this is another case of reversal of meaning of words. Defend the nation. But no, they are not defending, they are attacking. And then he says, I would like to be clear that this team is an offensive team. See, himself told the reporters that on Tuesday. The teams are analogous to battalions in the Army and Marine Corps, or squadrons in the Navy and Air Force, said Alexander. In short, they will soon be capable of operating on their own, with a range of operational and intelligent skill sets, as well as a mix of military and civilian personnel. So now they will collaborate. You know what this means, civilian personnel? It means collaboration with civilians to put them in places so they can scout information from other people, and they can disguise as your friends. It's just like we had in the communist period. We had people that would randomly come to us while we were sitting in a bar or something, try to become our friends, earn our trust, and then snitch, become a snitch, and tell the government that I am buying jeans from other countries. Well, that was the issue in the communist period. You had to buy everything from the country's own production. So if you, for example, I don't know, if you had some Led Zeppelin discs, that would be highly illegal and you would be put to prison for having such offensive and provocative materials in your house. Right, now back to this. Chris Storm, a national security reporter for Bloomberg, which is a mainstream news source, says that the units will focus on missions such as vital computer networks from attacks, supporting combat operations, and keeping the Pentagon's information technology systems secure. All this is a diplomatic way of saying that they are just for defense and blah blah blah. But yeah, this is what the mainstream media always tries to do. They just tell you half of the truth. The Associated Press reports that General Alexander likened the team's duties to knocking an incoming missile out of the sky before it hits the target, and that they serve as defensive teams when added offensive capabilities. This is another case of double talk. They like to double talk a lot to confuse people, but I'm sure that we can understand from the alternative community what this really means. What offensive actions the teams will engage in exactly will likely remain unknown for now. However, as the US as continues to closely guard its secretive cyber operations. Of course, everything is a secret in the land of the free. Everything is a secret, yeah. An order signed by President Barack Obama last year outlining the offensive capabilities of US Cyber Squad remains classified 4 months later, but it has been described as being the most aggressive cybersecurity directive ever. Meanwhile, the commander-in-chief and other administration officials have only said that attacks aimed at US infrastructure are increasing in frequency. Well, of course they are increasing in frequency because you keep destroying people's freedoms and liberties. So therefore, when you have a lot of negative stuff going on, then you will generate an opposite reaction of positive reaction, shall we say. And of course, then you will try to say, this is so offensive for us. Yes, you cannot destroy our evil plans. Only we have the capabilities of doing that, and you just have to stay there in your corner and not care. And play your little World of Warcraft. Play it, then go and watch some porn videos and go to sleep. And that's all you need to do. You don't need to think about anything else. And while General Alexander's 40 new teams won't be ready for either side of a cyber battle until 2015, because they are too retarded and, governments are retarded anyway, so they take a long time to learn something. They might not even learn how to use a computer until 2015, but they're trying. Meanwhile, Washington is looking for other ways to protect an onslaught of attacks. In addition to the classified order signed by Mr. Obama in November, Presidential Policy Directive 20, the White House has also released an executive order that will pave the way for the country's private businesses to share threat information with the US government. So if you want, you can become a spy. Yes. That is what you must do. Right. General Alexander and press Obama's statements come on the heels of a series of cyber attacks aimed at America's military computers, government servers, utility companies, and banks. Iran has been largely considered responsible for a series of recent attacks on US banking websites. What? People in Iran don't even know how to use computers. Okay, and China has repeatedly been linked to both cyber espionage and cyber attacks on the US Department of Defense. Maybe these are not civilian hackers, because also hacking is like a big business. This is now corporations hire hackers, everyone hires hackers. So it's important to know how to see from which origin the hacker comes from. Earliest this week, hackers claiming to be from the Tunisian cyber army took credit for hacking a handful of government websites and say that along with the Al-Qaeda, Electronic Army and the crew of Chinese hackers will continue to attack US websites as part of Operation Black Summer. Yeah, this is a bunch of bullshit to make the people agree with the stupid crap, you know? All right. But in the meantime, the US government cybersecurity database has been taken offline due to a hacker attack. Yes, a federal government database that stores malicious viruses and cyber attacks has been taken offline following the detection of a hacker attack on its servers. The database is meant to provide an early warning of internet infiltration by new viruses. Finnish security researcher Kim Halavosk asked the NIST via email for an explanation as to why the database has gone offline. The NIST spokesman Gail Porter replied that the site was offline because of blah 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 blah. The malware that caused the shutdown took advantage of vulnerabilities in Adobe Cold Fusion to infiltrate and delete the register reports. Both servers were compromised for at least 2 months before a firewall could detect them. A patch is now available from Adobe to fix the issue. But yeah. 2 months. Yeah, that's hardcore. Porter elaborated on the investigation, saying currently there is no evidence that NVIDIA or any other NIST public pages contained or were used to deliver malware to users of these NIST websites, assuring Halavakosk that the servers would be back online as soon as possible, though she gave no specific time frame because she wanted to just escape, you know, escape the questions. The threat of hacker attacks on US industrial and government infrastructure has become a growing problem in recent months. Well, I wouldn't call it as a problem. I would call it a blessing, you know. Take your government down. It's important to take your government down because the government does not like you so much. You know, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary art, George Orwell says. I think you are familiar with who George Orwell is, because you are intelligent people. Washington's reaction follows a threat assessment study by American computer security firm Mandiant, which concluded that an elite military group of Chinese hackers, the People's Free blah, blah, has been engaged in ferocious cyber espionage against the U.S. in the last 7 years. Has allegedly hacked 141 companies across 20 major industries, including those vital to national security. Well, good for them. That's what you should do, people. You should engage in. All right. So before I say any more, I would like to say that everything I say in this show is purely fictional, and it only happens in your imagination. It is not me who I'm saying these things. Right. So now, going to the freedom of information place, One of the biggest names of the internet has resigned their support of a controversial computer bill. Social media giant Facebook says they are no longer favoring the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, or CISPA. Yeah. From Silicon Valley to Washington, D.C., all eyes were on CISPA last year when Mike Rogers and Senator Dutch Ruppersberger tooted the bill across the United States as a much-needed solution to the skyrocketing number of cyber attacks, which talks. CISPA said its supporters would prevent those hazardous hacks from ravaging the country's cyber grid by asking private sector internet business to share threat information with the U.S. government. Yeah, I bet Facebook just removed the support for this because there are numerous leaks saying that Facebook is being controlled by the CIA. So they probably did this just to deviate our eyes from Facebook and say, oh, they're on our side. But they are not on our side. This is just a diversion. But anyway, back to the article. When CISPA went before Congress last year, the bill passed in the US Senate after garnering the support from Silicon Valley heavyweights like Microsoft and Facebook. Before the bill could make it to the House, though, a number of proponents withdrew their enthusiasm in the wake of a massive grassroots internet campaign. Of course, the internet campaign was promoted by various blogs. It was massive on YouTube because we the people still have the power sometimes. CISPA ultimately never made it to the House, but last month the co-authors of the original bill reintroduced the act before Congress. The odds of CISPA seeing serious support, like it did last year, is now up in the air. However, after Facebook acknowledged this week that it will no longer back the bill. Yeah, Facebook doesn't back the bill, but all the other people, important people at the House, might actually support it. Anyway, this CISPA is a thing of the past, but it's just like in Terminator, you know? They keep coming back, they keep coming back. And also, there was an interesting operation this last year with the up WCIT when basically they wanted to put all the internet in the control of the UN. United Nations. Yeah, a lot of people were onto that, and a lot of campaigns were made. People found out about it. Members of Anonymous released all the emails of the people from the various delegates, you know, delegates from all the countries that were supposed to be at the UN meeting. So people started to mail them and to tell them about the privacy issues that it had. So it didn't got approved. But what I can tell you is that USA voted for it, Canada voted for it, some Western countries. But the Eastern countries and the whole Asia and Africa and South America were against it, so I guess the majority won. Facebook says McCulloch has resigned their support of the bill because the website prefers a legislative balance that ensures the privacy of our users. Quote. Quote again, we are encouraged by the continued attention of the Congress to these important issues, and we look forward to working with both the White House and the Senate to find a legislative balance that promotes government sharing of cyber threat information with the private sector while also ensuring the privacy of our users. A spokesperson for the site tells CNET. So yeah, they keep saying that they are for the privacy of the users, but how come information from Facebook always manages to get outside Facebook? How come people's accounts, especially from the anonymous community, get blocked? They get deleted. Of course, they make other ones, but yeah, a lot of stuff like this happens. Facebook's falling out comes nearly a year after Microsoft eventually walked away from the deal on their own, and could come as a serious thorn in the side of Rep. Rogers and Senator Rupert Sperger. This is a German name, Rupert Sperger. You know, they have people like this in the US. I also know that they have members, like Islamic members in the US government. So they are not really American. They fight against people that they have inside of their own government. Right. Privacy concerns have been the driving force in anti-CSPA actions, primarily since the bill would alleviate cooperative private businesses from any liability once they let the government sit through personal data. Quote, CSPA would allow ISPs, social networking sites, and anyone else handling internet communications to monitor users and pass information to the government without any judicial oversight. Well, we had this in this last thing that we defeated called ACTA, if you remember it. They keep making the same laws and putting them in different packages and hope for the people to not know this, which is not the case because the people are awake. Not most of them. Most of them are destroyed, but a few cases of individuals who discover these things and share them, and then it just blows off like bomb. And why does it blow off? Because people are afraid they cannot longer watch YouTube, or they cannot longer download the stupid Rihanna video. You know, or stuff like that. That's how the masses react. But of course, other people are worried about other more important issues. It's good to take. Sometimes it's good to have the masses on your side, and it's good to make the video presentations in such a way as you can actually convince the masses to join you. You know, like for example, now in the conspiratorial realm, if you try to present the information directly to someone, they will get offended and they just get scared, and they are an idiot or something like that. But what we must learn is that when we approach the people, we must talk in their language. You know, you have to calm down and show them stuff that they can actually grasp upon. Like when you talk about internet censorship, you have to tell them that they will take away your YouTube. You know, that's what you have to do. Just weeks after CSPA 2 was unveiled, a petition asking the White House to stop the bill has already received over 100,000 signatures. Having surpassed that threshold, the Obama administration will now have to respond in the coming weeks. Given the White House's insistence on surpassing some sort of cyber law, though a guaranteed veto is almost uncertainly out of the question. Speaking to ABC News earlier this week, President Obama urged Congress again to consider the bill, saying, "There are ways that we can harden our critical infrastructure, our financial sector, and that Congress needs to get this done." Amazing, this Obama character. I think he has very interesting people behind him, you know, because I don't see him capable of taking individual decisions. Like when you take the papers off of a president's speech, he starts to stumble and just present nothing to the people. You know, I think there are people who write this stuff down for them because they are too stupid and they have been selected especially for that. You know, our presidents have been selected because of their ease. Yeah, like they are really good speakers. But that's about it. Like, for example, in my own country, you know, we have the most retarded president ever, but no one cares anyway. He is not even capable of reading a speech, you know, so it's even more, the situation is even more shittier than it is in other countries. Because here in my country, they need to have even more retarded people so that they can steal this country's resources and put the people under poverty. Like, for example, now, as I speak, many cars filled with logs, with wood, you know, illegally to places like Austria. Yes. Chop our forests down. That's what we need in this country. That's why we joined the mighty European Union, so that you can destroy our land, so that you can steal my forests, so that you can frack, so that you can privatize all the work, all the factories and everything. We don't produce anything anymore in this country. We are not allowed to produce. We are only allowed to borrow from the IMF, just like Greece did. And then after some years pass, we have to give the money back, but we can't because in the meantime they told us to privatize all the companies and all the resources. So we are going to go in big debt, which will cause poverty and more restrictions, austerity measures. We have the biggest austerity measures in the whole Europe here. So we are fucked. Okay? So enough about my country. Let's go back to what? We've talked about let's go to some more. It's all because of these crappy banks, you know, these crappy banks that have enslaved our world, completely enslaved. Like, there is a list, like, of the improprieties by big banks. Yes, not all banks are criminal. The small ones have no problems, but many of the big ones did. Some again, my program here is just your imagination. Funding the Nazis, laundering money to terrorists. Yes, financing illegal arms deals and funding the manufacture of cluster bombs and other arms which are banned in most of the world. Launching a coup against the President of the United States, handling money for rogue military operations, laundering money for drug cartels, engaging in mafia-style big rigging fraud against local governments, shaving money off of virtually every pension transaction they handled over the course of decades, stealing collectively billions of dollars from pensions worldwide, manipulating gold prices on a daily basis, charging storage fees to store gold bullion without even buying a storing or storing any gold, and raiding allocated gold accounts, committing massive and pervasive fraud both when they initiated mortgage loans and when they foreclosed on them, pledging the same mortgage multiple times to different buyers, cheating homeowners by gaming laws meant to protect people from unfair foreclosure, committing massive fraud in an $800 trillion market, which affects everything from mortgages, student loans, small businesses, loans, and city financing, manipulating the $100 trillion derivatives market, engaging in insider trading of the most important financial information, pushing investments which they knew were terrible, and then betting against the same investments to make money for themselves. Engaging in unlawful front running to manipulate markets. Engaging in unlawful wash trades to manipulate asset prices. Otherwise, manipulating markets. Participating in various Ponzi schemes. Charging veterans unlawful mortgage fees. Helping the richest to illegally hide assets. Yes, cooking their books, bribing and bullying ratings agencies to inflate ratings on their risky investments, violently cracking down on peaceful protesters. Oh yeah, just check the stuff from last year, from all the Occupy movements and all the other stuff. The executives of the big banks invariably pretend that the hanky-panky was only committed by a couple of low-level rogue employees. But studies show that most of the fraud is committed by management. Indeed, one of the world's top fraud experts, professor of law and economics, and former senior S&L regulator Bill Black, says that most financial fraud is control fraud, where the people who whom the banks are the ones who implement systematic fraud. Even the bank with the reputation as being the best managed bank in the US, JP Morgan, has engaged in massive fraud. For example, the Senate's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations released a report today quoting an examiner at the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, JP Morgan's regulator, saying he felt the bank had lied to and deceived the agency over the question of whether the bank had mismarked its books to hide the extent of losses. And Joshua Rosner, noted bond analyst and managing director at independent research consultancy Graham Fisher and Company, notes that JP Morgan had many similar anti-money laundering laws violations as HSBC, failed to segregate accounts a la MF Global, and paid almost 12% of its 2009 net income on regulatory and legal settlements. So I know it's hard to focus on these phrases, but it's very important that you understand how shitty the banks are, okay? But at least big banks do good things for society. Like loaning money to Main Street, right? Actually, the banks no longer do very much traditional banking. Most of their business is from financial speculation. For example, less than 10% of Bank of America's assets come from traditional banking deposits. Instead, they are mainly engaged in financial speculation and derivatives. The big banks have slashed lending since they were bailed out by taxpayers, while smaller banks have increased lending. A huge portion of the bank's profits comes from taxpayer bailouts. For example, 77% of JP Morgan's net income comes from taxpayer subsidies. The big banks are looting, killing the economy, and waging war on the people of the world. We should all we It's our fault also, because we are the ones who believe in this shitty economy. We believe in the economical system that has been put in front of us to blind us from the truth, you know? So that is why everything is shitty, because we believe in the system. We contribute to it every day. Every day we go and we do everything that our superiors say. Why these people wage war, finance war, kill people around the world with no. They are really heartless. They don't care. They don't give a crap. They just care about having the power and just, champagne, stuff like that. And our democracy and everything is fucked up. We believe in it and we contribute to it. We can almost understand why Thomas Jefferson warned, and now quote, "And I sincerely believe with you that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies." This is what Thomas Jefferson said, standing armies. John Adams said, "Banks have done more injury to religion, morality, tranquility, prosperity, and even wealth of the nation than they have done or ever will do good." And Lord Acton argued that the issue which has swept down the centuries and which will have to be fought sooner or later is the people versus the banks. No wonder a stunning list of prominent economists, financial experts, and bankers say we need to break up the big banks. Okay. So this is what actually destroys my country now and all the other countries. Like, the perfect example is Greece. They got the big loan. Then they had to pay the money back. And if they couldn't, so they made austerity measures. So they made a big propaganda in Europe. I literally heard in front of the TV a lot of the defaming of the Greek lands, of the Greek people. They said, Greece sucks. Their economy is shit. Well, yes, but why? Why is it? Because they believed in the power of the banks. They believed in the scam that the IMF did to them, just like we do, just like everyone does. And soon they will feel the wrath of the banks. And when they will do, they will just have nothing to do about it. Well, they can go on the street, but what does that give you? That does not give you anything, just a rubber bullet inside your skulls. Yes, at least we voice our opinions. It's important to do that, but I think we must find another approach. So if you have any ideas of how to bring a solution to this, just be my guest. But so far I haven't discovered anyone with a solution for this mayhem. Meanwhile, we have more hacking to discuss. Like 14,000 students' credential leaked from KTU Career Center in Lithuania. An anonymous supporting hacker using the handle hacker STS has hacked a Lithuania-based university, and as a result, over 14,000 student login credentials have been posted. Like, this is the shit I do not really agree of, People start joining anonymous, and they make shit like this. Like, what's the point? Why do you attack universities? Why? It's stupid. You should attack the banks, not innocent students. Another one, 24 Pakistan government sites exposed for common passwords. A hacker who uses the handle Godzilla has posted to Pastebin on the 13th of a statement which is followed by a list of Pakistani database credentials. G.O.D., which is another of his nickname, has carried out this attack, claiming that Pakistan is supporting terrorist activities via ISI. The credentials belong to 24 different Pakistani government-based websites and appear to come from a single server, which is hosting all this information. In the release statement, the hacker says that it was with the help of the government using weak common passwords across many different databases, which allowed them to obtain access to them all. And this is a quote from the hacker himself. There are total 3 admins managing the whole stuff of IMP, Pakistan cyberspace. There is almost a common database for all the websites. The main super admin is Imran Khan, and here is his encrypted hash password. Then he posts the password. I must say, without you, it would have been difficult for us to penetrate into the system and your common password. And then he quotes the password, which is like 111111. Was like a magical stick for us, he says. Gee, who is so idiot to put a password of the same characters in a row, like 1111? It's interesting what retards they hire. GOD has also stated that all the databases are common layout. It appears that the Pakistan government does not understand the risk to cyber attacks somewhat, as GOD claims they were attempting to use a proxy system, which is the same way they found access to the IBM servers. So let's break this down. What has gone wrong here? First of all, 3 administrators for the complete system. The whole system, the whole Pakistani system, 3 administrators. And then, common and very weak set passwords for all the databases. This is really, really retarded. So the sites that have been affected are, and then I have a list of 24 of them. It's like, first of all, I will just read the first ones. Government of Pakistan, Cabinet Division of Pakistan, Capital Administration and Development Division, Pakistan's National Biodiversity Clearinghouse Mechanism, Drug Regulatory Authority of Pakistan, Economic Affairs Division of Pakistan, Electronic Government Directorate of Pakistan, Establishment Division of Pakistan, Ministry of Human Resource Development, Inter-Provincial Coordination Division, Ministry of Kashmir Affairs, and basically all the ministries with three administrators with crappy passwords. Right, so as you can see, some of the most important and high-profile government sections have been breached in this single attack. Well, let's hope that someone in the Pakistan government sees this and gets it fixed before it becomes a major problem for them. Right. So this is the Pakistani stuff. Then there is more interesting things, such as if a vast Germany hacked and 20,000 credentials leaked with payment information. The Avast site is the German-based .de domain, which is the official GmbH-based site for all Avast-related products and partner programs. The attack was announced to via Twitter by Maxen3y, who has left the main Avast site defaced, and now it's offline with only basic text catch working. The attack has also seen a dump of data from the site's database, which contains what appears to be a complete configuration file for the shop.avadas.de domain, which included PayPal payment system information. It also has complete administration login details with encrypted passwords. The main chunk of user logins is from the site's community forums and its shop systems, which contain over 20,000 accounts with full credentials that include encrypted passwords, email, usernames, account-related information, as well as, sadly, complete bank and payment details, which appear to be in clear text. The leaked data was uploaded to speedyshare.com and is 3.7 megabytes compressed RAR file that contains 5 text files and 1 XLS file. Mirrors of the defaced domains can be found in all the main sites, and all 4 official subdomains appear to have been breached. The defacement has no real message, and the scammer, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it has no real message, my ass. But at least it has been done. It's good when banks get attacked, because it's good. You know, you don't even need a reason to do that. They just need to be hacked, period. So I come to 3 minutes away from the end of this show. Actually 2 minutes. Yes, 2 minutes away from this show. So as a conclusion for this glorious first show with which I start my journey in the Dark City Radio, I think that we can say we should stop fucking around and believing in this crappy economical system, you know, because the economic system is the main reason for our crappy lives, you know. So stop blaming spaceships. Stop blaming the ETs and all the other crap, you know, from outer space. The problem is right here on Earth with this shitty economic system that we believe in. We have created it because we are a stupid race of people from which the majority is idiots. So you just go on the street and you will see that if you interview 80% of them, they can't even have a conversation with you other than what's up, nothing much, end of conversation, you know. That's all for today, folks, you know. And we shall see each other next time, when we will talk about more of this glorious world that we dwell upon. Cheers.